You're listening to Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Ellie Yu in for Larry Mantle. In recent years, San Francisco's rental market has, of course, been among the priciest in the country. But as with many things nowadays, the pandemic appears to be changing that. Tech companies like Twitter and Slack are allowing employees to work from home indefinitely. Many Bay Area employees may never go back into the office. Now, the industry responsible for transforming San Francisco into a tech hub may just touched off an exodus, and this phenomenon is not unique to San Francisco. New York City is seeing the same thing. It's such a new phenomenon that researchers are still trying to track it all. In this segment, we're going to talk through how the pandemic is reshaping cities like San Francisco and whether we might see an exodus from Southern California as well. I'd love to hear from listeners who have considered moving away during the COVID-19 pandemic, whether you're looking for lower rents temporarily or are finally considering a big move you have long put off. Has a pandemic had you seriously consider moving away? What has been your experience? We'd love to hear from you. The number is 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722. Or you can comment on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org. You can also tweet us at AirTalk or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Again, that number is 866-893-5722. My first guest is Katie Bentley. She's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal and has written about tech workers relocating from the Bay Area. Her story is called Remote Work is Reshaping San Francisco as Tech Workers Flee and Rents Fall. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us about how you first just started to look into the story? What were you hearing?
It started out just like hearing people, you know, talking about seeing moving trucks all over the city and just kind of like buzz about, is this going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Because for years, people have been saying that, you know, eventually there is going to be some kind of exodus because the city is just so expensive. So it was something I wanted to look into. And then I started hearing from a couple, like the first of my own friends started to actually move. And then you have to figure out, is this just anecdotal or is it actually happening? So I started digging into some of the real estate data, and that's where it got, you know, really interesting. Rents turned, according to Zillow, rents turned negative in San Francisco for the first time since they started tracking in 2014. But it's sort of a nuanced story because what you're seeing is while, you know, people are leaving the city itself, in some cases, you know, they're not necessarily relocating all that far. Maybe they're looking for more space in Marin or in the East Bay. But in other cases, this has served as an accelerant where they maybe thought they were going to move home to North Carolina in 5 years and then decided, if I can be remote and keep my same job, why not do it right now?
Mm-hmm. So is this primarily driven by tech companies allowing employees to work from home indefinitely, or are there any other factors at play here?
For a lot of the people I spoke with, it started out as, you know, during the pandemic, they may have gone to shelter in place somewhere else to go stay with family, to get help with childcare, and then kind of waited to see what their companies were going to announce. And then it sounds like for a lot of people, once they got the green light that they wouldn't have to come back for, you know, at least a year, that they decided, OK, I'm actually going to do this. So that's some of what I found.
Right. So, I mean, if companies are announcing they're not coming back until late 21, that's, as you mentioned in your story, long enough for at least a 1 year lease, right?
Yeah. And some people are, you know, like hedging their bets a little. One woman I interviewed, she relocated to Sacramento because her family is there and, you know, daycare is not necessarily going to be reliable over God, you know, for God knows how long. But, you know, in her head, it was like if her career starts to suffer or if, you know, say a year from now, many more people are back in the office, you know, Sacramento is close enough where she could, in theory, you know, commute in once every few weeks. Whereas prior to the pandemic, you certainly wouldn't want to commute from Sacramento into San Francisco 5 days a week.
Right. I'm speaking with Katie Bentley, a reporter covering tech for The Wall Street Journal. And we're talking about workers relocating from San Francisco during the coronavirus pandemic. If you've considered leaving your city or even the state during the pandemic, we'd love to hear from you. Call us. We're at 866-893-5722. We want to hear about your experiences and whether you've put off a long-term move and you're going to do it now. Our number is 866-893-KPCC. You can tweet us at the AirTalk page at kpcc.org or comment on our Facebook page as well. Katie, is there any indication that these moves might be permanent, or is it too early to tell so far?
I mean, for some people, they certainly are thinking of it as permanent. I mean, I interviewed multiple people who purchased houses in other locations and have already moved, and who didn't seem to think like, oh, this is a 1 year thing. I also did interview people who are being a little more tentative about it, and maybe they're spending, planning to spend a year in Tahoe, and they're subletting their place in San Francisco to someone else, and taking like a wait and see approach. But I definitely interview, several people for whom this is a more permanent decision.
Got it. I want to bring in another guest to the conversation, Adam Fowler. He's the director of research at Beacon Economics, and his expertise includes Southern California's housing market. Adam, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Adam, you study housing in California. I mean, how much of this was happening, before the pandemic? I know California's growth rate has actually slowed in recent years, slowed so much that we could even lose a congressional seat, actually, after the census. I mean, so is this migration part of a larger pattern? And do you think the pandemic might just be exacerbating that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And a lot of the indicators that really give us a rich, robust understanding of what's going on are often time delayed. So a lot of reporting and research in this moment looks to kind of non-traditional forms of data, whether that's moving companies and data of where folks are placing orders for their services, looking at online marketplaces, Zillow, apartment lists, places like that, to see, trends in search results. So do we see people really looking around the suburbs more maybe than our dense urban areas? I would say for San Francisco and New York specifically, those are just two very unique, very expensive housing markets. They're among the most expensive housing markets in the world. And so the activity of those two markets here in the United States are unique for a lot of reasons. So oftentimes it's been a rough summer for those of us that enjoy living in cities, both for the economic, cultural, and other benefits between the president telling us the cities are burning and a lot of articles talking about the urban exodus to the suburbs. We've really not seen a lot of it. One of the things folks need to keep in mind with regard to the housing market is we had a period of lockdown where the normal spring and summer behaviors of folks was put on pause. So when it comes to metrics like houses on the market to buy, supply has been actually still decreased. So people are taking a wait and see approach before putting their house on the market, for example, and we've got increased demand. So that pent up demand that was there, our kind of normal annual cycles in the real estate space, weren't able to take place because of a lot of urban lockdowns. So it's a little early to say if this is a broad problem across metro areas. San Francisco has been lacking in housing supply for a very long time, and this is a prime example of some of that being exacerbated. Right. Absolutely.
Adam Fowler is director of research at Beacon Economics. We've also been talking with Katie Bentley, a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. We're talking about how the pandemic is prompting an exodus of Californians from cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 866-893-KPCC or tweet us at AirTalk. We'll continue this conversation right after the break. Stay with us. We're talking about whether the pandemic is prompting an exodus of Californians from cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. We're talking with Katie Bentley, a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and Adam Fowler, director of research at Beacon Economics. We've had people calling in about this subject. I want to go to our phone lines now. William from Chino Hills is calling. William, thanks for calling AirTalk.
You're welcome. I left California to go to Florida. I basically get, well, put it this way. I'm in a house with a pool on a golf course with reasonable amount of sunshine for half of what I was doing in L.A., and that was in an apartment.
When did you move out of California?
I moved just as COVID was happening. My job got 86. I'm a chef in a restaurant. Restaurants closed. They could no longer pay a decent salary. They wanted to cut my salary by half, and I just can't survive on that. So my options were few, and my mother's in Florida, so I went to be closer to her and help her.
And so are you deciding to live there permanently now after you've helped your mom?
yes, the lifestyle for what it costs is extraordinary. I'm in Fort Myers, and I mean, I got a house on a golf course with a pool, you know, half a mile, well, about a mile and a half from the beach. Life is good, and that runs me, I'm all in for $2,500 a month.
So are you in Chino Hills right now, or are you actually, you know, in sunny Florida?
Sure, no, I come back and forth. My kids and my ex are here, and I come back for a couple of weeks every couple of months.
Thanks so much for calling, William. Appreciate it. Katie, is this something that you've been hearing, you know, people sort of going to visit their families and, you know, maybe deciding they want to stay? You know, it's either they can help out with elderly parents or, you know, if they're parents of young children, you know, in-laws or grandparents might be helpful when it comes to childcare.
Yeah, I did. There's one couple that I interviewed, or where I interviewed the husband, and theirs did start as like wanting to spend more time with family in Arizona, and then ultimately deciding that it wasn't realistic, you know, given what's going on, to be flying back and forth on the regular basis that they had been previously. So they ultimately decided to relocate. And then, you know, the woman I mentioned from Sacramento, I think childcare was a big part of her decision, because even though she, you know, the plan is to have the kids in daycare, you know, she's worried that there's going to be stretches where daycare has to close down. And in that case, you know, what does she do when you've got both parents at work and you've got young kids? You know, having family around is really like a game. She just, you know, kind of felt like, this is the time that I really need, you know, support from my family.
I want to go to another call. Brandy from Pasadena is on the line. Brandy, what's your experience been like?
Hi, Ellie. I'm actually not planning to leave myself, but I'm a landlord. And, my rentals are predominantly in Westlake and Silver Lake area. And I'm sort of a medium-sized landlord. I have about 25 units. And I've noticed this year that the amount of moving and like kind of exodus has been dramatically increased. I typically get a couple units a year that, you know, might move out or whatever. But this year, in the last 6 months, I've had probably 8 or 9 at least.
Wow.
And I've noticed two things. A couple of my units are on the higher end, but the rest of them are in the more affordable range. So the higher end units, I've had a ton of turnover in those, where people are moving into something a little bit less expensive in L.A. And I think there's been so much movement in the sort of higher end market that it's kind of opened up space for the people in the more affordable ones to trade up to a neighborhood that might be a little bit more expensive previously. And then some of the people that were in the higher end stuff moved into more affordable units.
So you used to have, you know, maybe a couple units turnover a year. Now you're seeing 8 or 9 turnovers in the last 6 months. Adam, I understand this is happening in rental markets, particularly in urban areas. I mean, like San Francisco as well. What have you been seeing in terms of the rental market?
Sure. In a lot of places in California, we have just had a lack of supply. So a lack of building, a lack of new units coming online, especially given our job growth coming out of the last downturn. So we were adding a lot of jobs per every unit of housing that was coming online. So there's just been a really extraordinary demand for housing units. So as we were in the pandemic period, in the lockdown period, a lot of different jobs and occupations were put on hold. And so aside from kind of public policy solutions, maybe eviction moratoriums and things like that, there were a lot of folks in different kind of industries that were not going to be able to, you know, make that housing payment without support from the government and places like that. So I think that has accelerated some of the decision making, depending on what industry you're in. Again, in San Francisco, you know, it's a lot easier for folks to look at places in Tahoe or other places, given their income, given the type of work they're doing. In Southern California, you can think, if you look at our film permitting data and some other production data here in Southern California, we're not back to pre-pandemic activity. And so people in those industries are maybe making decisions, maybe deciding to look elsewhere if their job, family, other commitments aren't tied to Southern California and they have the opportunity to work remotely.
I'm speaking with Adam Fowler. He's director of research at Beacon Economics, and Katie Bentley. She's a reporter with The Wall Street Journal. I understand, Katie, that you know, listings in San Francisco for houses were sort of kind of at an all-time high as people were trying to sell and kind of move out. Is that what you were seeing?
Yeah, I mean, to Adam's point, we're talking about a city that had very low inventory for years. So it is all relative in that sense. But just to throw some numbers out there, for the week of September 19th, inventory in the city of San Francisco was up 49%. And then from May 2nd to September 19th, city listings were up by 148%. And again, we're talking about previously very low numbers, so it is all relative. But that's for the houses for sale in the city itself. On a personal note, I moved to San Francisco about 2.5 years ago from New York City, and when I was asking people about finding apartments there, I was told that I might need to write a letter to the landlord of selling myself, and that I was likely going to be competing with multiple other offers from other tenants, and that you just really had to jump on things. And I ended up finding my apartment by walking around the neighborhood and calling the management company number that I saw when I Googled the address, and getting my apartment before it had ever even been put on the market. Now, fast forward to where we are right now, while I was reporting the story, I decided to ask my landlord if they were willing to do anything for me. And I actually, given my apartment and where I live, I'm already getting by San Francisco standards a fairly good deal. And so I wasn't sure what they would say. I asked if they would renovate my kitchen and if I signed a 1-year lease, because a lot of San Francisco residents are month to month. So they said no to that because it was going to be a 6-week project. But when I asked if they would reduce my rent, they said that they would take off $200 a month for the next 4 months and then revisit again in January and possibly continue to let me pay $200 a month less. So that it's just a pretty striking contrast to what we were looking at.
Wow. So you're able to negotiate a lower rent price in San Francisco. I've been speaking with Katie Bentley. She's a reporter at the Wall Street Journal. I'd also like to thank Adam Fowler. He's director of research at Beacon Economics, whose expertise includes Southern California. We've been talking about the exodus from California during the pandemic. Thank you both. And also thank you to everyone who called in and shared their experiences with us this morning. I'm Ellie Yu, and you're listening to Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. Film Week with guest host John Horn is up next. Stay tuned. Larry will be back in the host chair next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.